I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission back to order. Our next order of business is the Taney County Library Board. This meeting was a request from the Library Board to make a presentation to the County Commission concerning libraries within the county. So we're going to allow you all to make whatever that presentation is, and we'll go from there.
And as chairman of the board, I would like to let Jim Babcock and Roxanne Young make the presentation on behalf of the board.
That would be great. Would you all like to come up? You have a choice either of going to the podium or sitting at this table. Either microphone works well.
Does the mic work?
Portable. The portable does work. I have the wired one up there right now, but the portable one does work. You can just turn it on.
Okay. Well, the reason I said that, if there's questions from the audience,
yeah.
Well, I don't like to sit in the presence of majesty, so I'll stand.
Yes, that's on.
Good start.
That was good. Very good opener.
I'm Jim Babcock, member of the Taney County Library Board. And honorable commissioners, you have accepted the appeal of a great many citizens of Taney County to establish a Taney County Library District on May 1, 2011, which is greatly appreciated. More than 100 citizens of Taney County have met for more than a year in study sessions, consulted experts, and conducted extensive research, which resulted in a report, which you have had in the past, support material for request to establish a Taney County Library District submitted to the Taney County Commission April 2011 from the Taney County Public Library Project. And we want to thank you for this opportunity to appear before you. And may I present to you, respectfully, the position statement of the Taney County Library District. We, the Board of Trustees of the Taney County Library District, believe that Taney County urgently needs a 21st century public library system. These are our goals: to provide a maximum accessibility of information for all residents of Taney County 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, using modern library technology. To provide up-to-date print and electronic resources, as well as gathering places and meeting places for collaborative work under the expert guidance from professionally trained librarians. To cooperate and expand association with schools and colleges. To help men and women find careers, enhance work experience, improve business and agricultural practices. To supplement reading and learning opportunities for homeschool students and parents, senior citizens, and homebound citizens. In summary, our mission is to provide as much as possible of all recorded knowledge to all citizens in Taney County. Following this statement, may I request that Taney County Library Board member Roxanne Young present information from our various studies and surveys. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning. Good morning.
I am the so-named Roxanne Young, and being secretary of the board, I've put together this material for you so that we can talk about it as we go along. Thank you again for establishing our district, and we believe that we're all on a good path here. We're all going to be famous and popular when this is over. And thank all of you for coming to support this. I haven't... there may be one people here who are not supporters, but I think most all of us are on the same side here this morning. Jim told you that, and you will remember the material that we put together for you in April. This is newer material from a broad base of sources. The second page, How Does a Public Library Benefit the Community, is drawn from two of many research studies across the country designed to evaluate what good the communities get out of having a public library system. One by the University of Pennsylvania just last year, and the other published in 2005 by the University of South Carolina. Economic impact being the first topic, the thing that struck me most was that homes located within a quarter mile of a branch library in Philadelphia were worth an average of $9,600 more than homes that were farther away from a library. That not only indicates that it affects local property values, but it also produces larger real estate tax revenues for Philadelphia. The economic value of the library services that help Philadelphians locate job opportunities and develop career skills totaled $6 million for fiscal year 2010. That is a calculation by the statisticians and analysts of the University of Pennsylvania Fells Institute, which specializes in research on public issues. A very fine study. You find it online. There's a link to it from the American Library Association website if you'd like to see the whole document. The economic value of the library services that help Philadelphians learn to read and acquire working skills totaled $21.8 million for fiscal year 2010. We don't have the population of Philadelphia, but that's not anything to sneeze at if we can help that many people learn to read and get greater working skills. Another benefit is that the funding that South Carolina supplies to help its public libraries exist brings to the state from federal and private sources almost $5 million a year that it wouldn't otherwise have. Being a public library, publicly supported, opens doors for funding that our existing libraries can't open because they are reserved for public libraries, publicly supported libraries. South Carolina estimates that for every dollar it spends on the state's public libraries, state and local governments spend, they get a return of $4.48. That's direct and indirect value. And the thing like estimating how much it's worth for people to improve their working skills is indirect value. The rest has to do with additional revenue that's generated like the state, the federal and private sources that were mentioned. On a more personal note, part of the research that both organizations did was to talk to users of the libraries and ask them what they liked about the library and what benefits they drew from it. 59% of personal investors said they got the information needed for making investment decisions from their public library. 47% of users said the public library attracts new businesses to the community. 44% said the library attracts patronage to existing local businesses. And 37%, this is South Carolina again, said that the public library assists workers to be more productive in their job. So those are just excerpts from two studies. There are dozens of them out there that are done by the American Library Association, that are done by the other states, Florida, Wisconsin, Maine. There were many others I could have chosen. I tried to choose one quite recent and one a little few years older so that we could see over time how they related. Another unmistakable benefit is the educational impact that libraries have. 10% of the people surveyed in Philadelphia said, "I couldn't have learned to read without the library." They provide literacy services in Philadelphia, and from their population, they extrapolated 10,788 people attribute their ability to read to their branch of the Philadelphia Free Library. 13% reported they taught someone else to read and couldn't have done it without the library, meaning about 14,000 people attribute their being able to teach someone to read to having a public library. 28% said, this is South Carolina now, 28% said that the library introduced users to new technology. 18% said the public library helped users with primary education work, teachers and homeschoolers. 12% said that the public library contributed to their homeschooling efforts. And 73% said that the public library nurtures a love of reading. I think those of you who are readers as happily reading as I am, you know that too. Quality of life is hard to measure in dollar terms, but the value of the South Carolina libraries, if people had to buy instead of borrow, the books, cassettes, newspapers, magazines, CDs, and all the other things that are checkoutable from a South Carolina library, if people had to pay for those, it would take about $102 million. So that's money that stays in the people's pockets they didn't have to spend otherwise. 73% of users in South Carolina said that the public library enhanced personal fulfillment. I don't know what that means, but they're happy. They love their libraries. And 92% of the people surveyed in South Carolina said that the public library improves overall quality of life. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. You heard in our position statement that we believe in providing electronic resources and technology for people. Whatever form that would take, it would certainly mean giving people access to lots of things that they could not afford to get on their own. The next page in this set is online resources that could be accessed by county library cardholders via the internet. These are subscriptions. Public libraries can subscribe. Individuals can't or couldn't afford it if they did. This list is, there's 25 here, all the way from auto repair references, medical information, the a directory of 14 million U.S. and Canadian businesses, 2,100 scholarly journals in something called Academic Search Elite, Business and Company Resource Center, Company Industry and Investment Reports, Business Decision Database with reporting and mapping tools involved in it. Bonk and Wagnall New World Encyclopedia, and we all know we don't see encyclopedias anywhere but online these days. The Gale organization has a library of associations. You can search and print legal forms for the state of Missouri from their database of forms, and they have a virtual reference library all associated with business and economic stuff. Heritage Quest Online. That one is a genealogy database. Job and Career Accelerator. Search current listings from over 5 million job postings taken from the most popular job posting websites, and will help you create resumes and cover letters when you want to apply for one of those jobs. Learning Express Library. That's one of my favorites. Prep for academic and employment tests. You can take practice tests for GED, SAT, civil service tests, including and postal worker tests. I am told that it is no longer possible to apply for a federal job except online. And if people can come to the library or access the library from their own equipment at home, suddenly they can apply for jobs that they otherwise couldn't have applied for. Literature, everything from novels to the New York Times historical database with newspapers from 1851 to 2007. The Wall Street Journal is online with full-text articles from 1984 to the present. And WorldCat, which is my favorite database of all time, which is a way to search worldwide for a book, a publication that you're interested in. So those are, and I didn't even read you all of them, those are things that would become available if we can fund the library properly. And that, of course, is what we, it's why we propose this, the amount of the levy. And we know that the private libraries are having a struggle to keep their doors open. They can't find volunteers, can't afford to employ very many people. Our libraries are not open in the evenings except on for a couple of hours. We don't have weekend afternoons and stuff like that. The rest of this information is taken from the phone survey that was done in November. The library board didn't commission it, but we certainly are interested in the results. It had a lot of questions involved about what people would, where people would like to have a library, what services they would like, and what they thought about the idea of a levy. And we gave them three options to think about: $35 increase in property tax on a $100,000 house, which is a little less than the 20% levy that we requested. We're not married to that number, but we know how important it is to do it right. We want it to succeed. This needs to be something that provides immediate and visible help to all the people in Taney County who don't have a computer at home, who can't afford to buy the materials, don't know how to use a computer, or don't have small children at home and can't get out to go get books. We've got all kinds of ideas about how to solve that. This was a sample of 645 people, voters, who voted in either the August 2010, April 2010, or April 2011 elections. Some voted in all three. They were reaching for frequent voters. The people who responded to the survey, 47% were men, 53% women. The age range from 22 to 75. 15% of the people they were able to contact had a child in their house. 85% did not. And that, I think, is reflected in the fact that only 23% of the people were under 55. So they were less likely to have a child in the house if they were older. Income range, 28% were under 30,000, 60% were, 26% were over 60,000, and about half fell in the middle of that range. 30% had high school or less, 32% some college, 25% college grads, 13% post-grad, 94% of them owned their own home. The survey didn't distinguish between a house and a condo, but 94% owned their home, the rest rented. And we also got information on how long people had lived in Taney County. 26% had been here less than 10 years, another 28% between 11 and 20. 23% were here over 36 years. So we also got a fair cross-section of recent arrivals and people who were maybe even from pioneer families, been here for generations. Naturally, we wanted to know how they felt about the levy. And so we asked them to respond to reasons that people might oppose the creation and funding of a Taney County Public Library District. 69% said what we all expected. Now is not the time to ask for a tax increase. I think if we asked on the 31st of November, that would be the answer. Always. Nobody likes to see their taxes go up. It has to be a return on investment. They got to know that they're going to get something good for that money that's going to cost. The other reason that was offered as a reason that people might oppose a library district was, the private libraries in Taney County are sufficient to meet the future library needs of the county. 53% of the people who answered said, nope, that wouldn't convince me to oppose it, because they know our libraries are not now sufficient, much less the future needs. 21% found that reason very convincing. 26% somewhat convincing, but a majority said, nope, that wouldn't convince me. Then, of course, we asked them what it would take to get them to support it, and 61% like the idea that it would incorporate ways to maximize library access throughout Taney County with technology and information delivery systems. We've talked about all kinds of things, bookmobiles, satellite branches, internet access, everything. 57% said it would improve the quality of life by providing library programs and services for all age groups. 53% said it would convince them since it would help address educational and workforce development needs. 53% were convinced by the argument, or might be convinced by the argument, that Taney County is one of three counties out of 114 in the state that doesn't have any kind of public library system. That's not good. That's why we're relying on the commission to not to vote for the library, to place the levy on the ballot and let the voters decide whether they're willing to pay for these services. The not convincing argument, not very convincing certainly, argument was that it would meet recreation and social needs by providing a community meeting place. I guess people think that that's not necessarily something they want to spend money on, because only 32% found that convincing. The survey also offered people a choice of three levy amounts. One was, if property taxes were increased by $35 a year on a $100,000 home, 51% of the people said, I'd support that. And they had virtually no detailed information about what this new system might consist of. They just knew they wanted something better, and they were willing to pay for it. 9% were undecided, 40% opposed to property taxes increasing by that amount. Naturally, when the survey proposed an even higher levy, the numbers changed. 63% were opposed to a tax levy of $40, and if property taxes went up by $45 on that $100,000 home, the 70% didn't like that. So there's no question that people are thinking hard, particularly voting people, are thinking hard about this, and I believe that Taney County is representative of Philadelphia and South Carolina. Not everybody's frugal, but certainly not everybody's rich, and they like their libraries. They really appreciate them when they have them. So the very last page here is my favorite of the whole batch. It's a breakout of who supported the property tax increase at $35. People who made more than $60,000 a year, 66% of them were in favor of that amount of levy. 65% of the ones who had visited the Taney Hills Library in the past year were in favor of that kind of levy. 62% of people 56 to 65 supported a $35 levy. 61% who had visited the Forsyth Library in a year. 61% of college graduates. 60% of people with a child in the household. 58% of those with postgraduate education. 58% of those who had lived here 1 to 10 years. 57% of the people from Branson, which was a very large chunk of the people who were surveyed. 57% of the people who had either VOTEC training or some college. Age 22 to 55, 57% were in favor. You have to go all the way down to people who were 75 plus to get as low as 46% of them supporting the $35 amount. So this group of people who were surveyed are in favor of paying some amount of taxes to have a public library system. And $35 is not an unreasonable number, you know. $3 a month, not a lot. We spend a lot of money frivolously. This would not be frivolous. We really do urge you to consider putting this proposed levy on the ballot in April. As I say, the amount is important to us because our existing resources are out of date. Some of them are, we're going to have to do some building. We're going to have some technology infrastructure. That's not cheap. And it's even harder to raise a tax than it is to establish it in the first place. You already know that. The other thing is that this tax revenue that is drawn from, let's say, a 20% tax would bring in about $2 million. If that 20% tax is what goes on the ballot, the revenue from in coming years will never be higher. The library district will never get more than that $2 million, no matter how much property values go up. And I would be happy to take questions. I could talk about this all day.
Okay, so thank you for the information, and I do have some questions. In your second to last document page of the document, talks about the support of our property tax increase.
Right.
It refers to the $35 per $100,000 home, but then you refer to the 20%. What I received as a request is that I think the library board submitted a request for 20 cents on the dollar.
Actually, the 20 cents would bring in a little, would bring the increase to a little more than $35.
What would it bring it into?
38, I believe, is the right number.
The 20 cent would bring the 30 cents.
This survey was not prepared by us, and there was a 15% number floating around at one time.
20% equals 38, okay.
Anything else?
Just to be clear, you did mean 20 cents, not 20%.
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
20 cents.
Per $100 assessed valuation would be my guess. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. A couple of, can I jump in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a couple of questions. First, I'm surprised that there's 111 counties that have a public library system. That was a shocking statistic to me.
It may not be a countywide system
okay.
in every instance, but
that was my follow-up. Is it a specific area within the county, or
there are counties that belong to regional systems? There are counties that have a city district, but not necessarily countywide.
Okay. Are these 111 districts that are formed in the 111 counties, are they supported by property taxes?
Most of them.
Okay.
There are some that have worked out some other arrangements that I'm not familiar with. I couldn't interview 111 libraries. I did talk to, and we've all talked to, libraries around the state of Missouri and some outside the state. I've heard some very creative funding ideas, but the property tax is by far the most prevalent. Some were established before the property tax became the only way to fund, and they just chose, some chose a sales tax, and it stayed in place.
Can I have you address how you came about the 20 cent per $100 assessed valuation and the amount of funding that was needed to fund the library district?
Sarah, could you take that? question. I know you documented all this.
Again, we're probably...
Ron, you can get her that mic. This broadcast tonight.
I can't turn it on, man. Right?
It's on.
Oh, I can stand up and come do this.
I'm going to bring you the stand. Is that all right?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
You don't have to talk into this, but you can.
Okay, what we tried to do, and again, Roxana's point about the fact that once you ask for a tax levy, it is very difficult to go back and ask for another one. So you have to get the amount right to begin with. We came up with operating budgets, here we go. Operating with a $2 million annual resource, we broke it down to approximately $700,000 a year for staff, $400,000 a year for materials, $400,000 a year for operations, and $500,000 to be set aside for capital, either remodeling or building situations. And that is the $2 million breakdown. Again, the survey showed one of the things that was interesting, and that was the fact that people had a preference for two library centers, one somewhere in the Branson-Hollister kind of, I think the term was the South 65 corridor, as well as the Forsyth location. Both the Taney Hills Library, as it currently exists, is kind of bound by its location, and probably at some point, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, there will need to be a new building built. The Forsyth situation again, and you all know where that library is, probably is going to take extensive remodeling. I'm not sure exactly which way to go with that, but feel that the $2 million annual operating expense is a very reasonable and functional amount of money for this library district. Hope that answers your question.
Okay. Well, a very significant part of that will be for electronic resources and infrastructure. For example, the Springfield Greene County Library budgets $200,000 per year for online resources, such as auto repair database, numerous other kinds of databases available. Now, you may say, but that's Springfield Greene County. Remember, it doesn't matter what county and what population, to have those resources, you still have that cost.
Hi, I have a little bit of a concern as I listen to your presentation on the $500,000 capital improvement. Once those are established annually, your centers, wherever you decide to build, naturally you're going to have a significant cost in preparation of building a building and maybe a couple of different sites and some improvements. But for an annual budget to contain that type of number, I would like to see from this board a breakdown of how you consider that. I can understand your operating numbers. I can understand some of the other things, but I would like to, for some member to bring forward to me a capital improvement projection for $500,000 a year.
We certainly give you some broad brush strokes of what we're talking about.
Today, because we don't have that information with us.
Right.
But it is also conceivable that it'll take 4 or 5 years to get to major construction, but there will have to be some expenditures before that. Once those buildings are built, the operational costs will be incurred in new ways, and the capital improvement may not need as much.
As probably you know, we have been meeting with bonding companies, and they have helped us a great deal in this amount. If we prorated over probably a 15 to 20 year projection, we are looking at capital building expenditures of about $6.5 million. Once we had those, that, you know, it would take the amortization of the bond, certainly, as well as simply the maintaining of the facilities once we had them. You know, that's a very reasonable amount of money to spend for new facilities.
I understand that. Okay. I just need a breakdown of it so I can look at it myself for consideration.
Okay.
I'm not sure who could answer the question, probably a number of you, but anytime a tax starts being discussed in the community, obviously we all start getting phone calls. One of the questions that I've heard is the Forsyth Library is a private venture, the Taney Hills Library is a private venture, and this is talking about public funds. How do you guys envision, I mean, are they going to cease to exist? How do you see that working out if a tax was to be put on the ballot and ultimately passed?
We are very fortunate in Taney County to have had the benefit of the Taney Hills Library, mm-hmm. privately funded, mm-hmm. for over 70-some years. They currently operate on an operating budget of $116,000 per year. Mm-hmm. There are four paid staff, minimally paid staff. The Forsyth Library operates with a $60,000 budget per year, and I think they have two paid staff. The rest of both Taney Hills and the Forsyth Library are supported by volunteers, by the people who run the thrift shops, by the people who run the book sales, and contribution and donations. Both of those organizations have perpetual trust funds, and both of those organizations own the real estate. So there is real value in those organizations. As we see your question, again, what happens to those organizations will hopefully, for a small remuneration or a donation, donate their assets to the county library system whenever they are willing to do that. Both of those organizations, who are very proud of their Friends of the Library groups who have been their long-term volunteers, will continue. They will become the Friends of the Library for the Taney County Public Library. Hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you.
Okay.
I like to bring up all the questions as you have a presentation as such as you're making. I guess, and the reason I say this, I see members of the Historical Society here, and we all went to a review of a piece of property that was donated to look, and the Historical Society was also talking about a library in the bottom floor of the rather large facility that they were looking at, and it's in the Forsyth area, the one that we went and looked at. I'm not saying that that's the only place that they want to is there any thought whatsoever of the cooperative effort between the two as one big library in the Historical Society building and what you're proposing? I mean, has that even been discussed or any thought put into that?
It has not been formally discussed with the History Society, the White River Valley History Society. I happen to serve on that board. I'm very much aware of the interest of the Historic Society as well as certainly the library situation. And it only stands to reason that there is a marriage of the interest of both of those organizations. And down the road, you know, the possibility of combining facilities becomes a real possibility there, and certainly combining functions. So yes, I'm glad you're aware of that.
I've asked the county clerk to bring to us the required time that she would need in order for an issue to go on the ballot. So she's bringing that to us for multiple dates.
In the meantime, let me just address the group here, since I addressed the library board last time. The process, the request has been, it's a two-part request is how I see it. The amount requested as a levy, the other request is the timing, or how does it get on the ballot? You know, that's really the two-part question that I wanted to address also. I went back and looked at what I required the Senior Citizens Board to do. And in that discussion we had in May of last year, I made a statement that if anybody wants to put something on the ballot going forward that doesn't clearly lay out in the statutes, that I was going to require 750 valid signatures registered in Taney County. That's what I held. That's what I held the Senior Citizens Board in the petition process to do. So in that meeting, I had with the Library Board last week or the week before was the same request: is that for me to vote to put this on the ballot to be fair to all groups. I've now, this is the third request for some sort of increase since I've been a commissioner. The first one I took phone survey / mail-in survey and put that initiative on the ballot, and then the senior citizen was the second one, and this is the third one. And I believe in order for me to be consistent what I said to the senior citizens in any future, I'm going to still require that, a petition with signatures. I know that's not a requirement, but that's a process in which I established last year. And I think for me, that was the only fair way to go through this. So it's not required, and I know it's not required by law. But I appreciate the survey, but my concern is making sure that everyone's aware of the request.
We appreciate that, and mm-hmm. we have talked long sure. and hard about the petition process. I'd like to introduce Gail Meyer. Gail is the chairman of, and I think the correct title now, help me, Americana, is the Coalition for Public
Library
for the Library of the Future. Gail has worked with us for the last 2 years, and he is the chairman of that committee going forth, and I'd like him to address the question of the petition.
And that's just, so you know, that's just my single commissioner statement. It's not the vote or the voice of the two other commissioners.
Well, thank you. Let me reiterate first, I am not on this district board. Okay, and so I'm. Let's view me kind of as a consultant. I'm a business guy. You know, I grew up on a farm, and from day one, I'm a business guy, and I've run this. I've suggested people run this like a business. You want to be successful. And I'm going to address your question in just a minute, but first I'd like to address Mr. Strahan's question. I can generate the capital plan for this, but you got to be intellectually honest, and the first thing you have to do with this, and I would recommend to the board, now remember, I'm not on the board, okay? This is my recommendation to them. You got to address the Forsyth Library and how it satisfies the people in Forsyth and how it satisfies the people in Rockaway Beach and Kirbyville. That's the number one thing that has to happen. That's the most immediate need. And it's great when you have folks who want to work together with each other because it becomes synergistic and usually it's more efficient. Okay? so the historical, that those discussions can happen, as well as discussions. We've already had discussions with OTC about a library support for OTC, and that's a discussion that, and they've told us they will pay us to supply those services. But you can't have discussions like that in seriousness until you have a ballot passed and have something you can do something with. And then the third thing is you contemporize the library in Branson, which you already have a facility. Now, I'm not sure anybody thinks very much of your suggestion because we think there's differences. And the difference is this is a district you guys set up. And if you're going to require them to do something, are you going to require every school district that wants a bond issue to get 750 signatures on a petition before you let them put that on the ballot? It's the same deal. I don't think, quite frankly, that that makes sense. I think the senior board is different than a board that you guys set up, and I'm assuming that at some point you set it up with the understanding that at some point in time they would go after a funding initiative. So I think you either have to believe the numbers or you don't. And never ignore what you know to be true. Now, I will tell you that I told this group that before this survey that I was prepared for the survey results to come out and really look terrible. Because I sat, just like you guys have, in 1,000 meetings where people start the meetings off with, well, times are tough, but. And I get tired of hearing that. When you look at these results, it's pretty shockingly positive. And then we find out that 80% of all library initiatives pass. And these people were shockingly positive without having a plan. So it gives me pause that, it's number one, it's really hard to politicize a library. It's very close to mom and apple pie. And there's no data point of negativity that goes along with the library in your community. The only point of negativity is taxes, and that's the same argument for every tax for the last 100 years. So you've got to determine if that overcomes the initiative. You're not going to find very many initiatives that people can't argue against in some form of negative moral turpitude or politicize, but a library is one of them where that doesn't come into play. The economic value to a community is there. So I understand the financial ramifications of the county. I understand the tax ramifications of the county. Nobody, well, I'm sure there are some people, but I'm one of those guys, if you want to talk about the tax ramifications on an individual, I'd be happy to talk to you about tax ramifications on my family of a library. We don't make our decisions that way. The benefit to everybody, families, seniors, kids, those people who are searching for jobs, the list goes on and on, beneficially. So you guys, that's your question. That's the balancing act that you have to do. As long as I'm involved, what I will guarantee to you is that I will continue to give this board information and input related to not building ivory towers, but building the right services for the people in the community and getting the people in the community involved in what's in telling us what services they want and what's of value to them. Sorry I took so long.
As you, in your own survey, as you look at your survey and look at the support from the public, and that's the reason I brought up the combination of things, is because as you look, as you increase the dollar value on your tax demand, you see that your percentages go down on support. So that's a part of the thing that concerns me as you look at a tax going forward. And that's the reason I brought up the capital improvement part. All these questions are going to be asked by individuals throughout the county. So I see as they introduce a budget, they've got $500,000 of capital improvements. And I understand the bonding issue. We've been through all that here at the courthouse. But making people understand that when you have an initiative out there before them to vote on of 10 years down the road and that $500,000, which is now with a expense line of $2 million, and that will increase with the property values as they go up. So none of my questions are directed in a negative way. I'm just trying to let you understand how the general public thinks, and as I look at your graphs and what you present, as you see as the percentages go up on what you're wanting, your support goes down. So that's one thing that I just took note of that and wrote some notes down here on my paper and said that I would like to see some things like that.
Yeah, and I think that's very smart. I mean, it makes sense. As the tax rate goes up, less people are supportive of it. But you're going to figure this out. One of the things that does happen is when you go after 20 cents, but the life cycle of this thing and is that people, in the long run, it's not 20 cents. You use the 20 cents originally to bond. You get the capital improvements done. And then if you look at these libraries, there's lots of libraries out there who went and voted for 20 cents, but today they're using 13 cents of that valuation. And so you go for less. And that, quite frankly, is kind of the norm. But you can't go for more, and that's the issue. So that 20 cents might, and I'm not going to commit to what the district would do, but that the norm is that in the long run you use less than the 20 cents. And we can show you. We have that data. We can show you.
Right, and that data is exactly what I want. As we ask for taxes as a county on different issues that come forward, we have looked at the bare minimum, you know, that we could
yes.
get the people to support.
Sure. And if you see us less in the position of royalty, you can sit down.
You're becoming more majestic as the hour goes on.
Majestic.
And I may have to practice a little A's Majesty, too, which I'm about to do. I'd like, first of all, to address my commissioner's position on the petition. I see a difference here that apparently at this point doesn't agree with me. It's my understanding when you ask a petition from the seniors to put on the ballot not only a levy, but the establishment of the board. You have already established the board, and all we're asking is to send this issue to the people to vote on the levy, because the board has been established.
Let me make a comment regarding that, if I may. First, I appreciate Commissioner Strophas's desire to be consistent in how we address each of the groups that comes before the county, and in fact believe that we should strive to do that. But I believe that the statute that allows us to create the library district and the statute that this library district was formed under mandates the county commission to place this on the ballot. It doesn't give us the opportunity because the wording says shall. And because the wording says shall, I believe that we, in fact, must put it on the ballot. The question is, when do we put it on the ballot? And if a levy is not passed by the library district within, a 5-year period of time, then the library district no longer exists. So sometime within that framework, and obviously you all hope sooner rather than later, that this issue of how it will be funding will be placed on the ballot for the people of this county to make the decision. I don't think that we have the option of saying we are going to or not going to place it. I believe that the statute mandates that. We will hopefully all agree that that's a question that we need to place before council, because I'm not an attorney and I'm not given the ability to say what this law means. But once our council tells us that, then we need to address this issue of when, if in fact the statute says that we will. And I know that you're reading that, but that's how I read what that law says.
And see, I don't interpret that way, so that's why we'll have to have counsel. So,
well, it's let me read it. In the event a district is so established, the county commission shall propose an annual rate of taxation within the limitations prescribed by Section 182.010, which proposal shall be submitted to a vote of the people in the same manner as though the district were formed under the provisions of that section. That section that it's referring to is wherein you had a petition process, if I'm not mistaken, and that would have been brought to the county commission, and then you go to a vote of the people. But, again, and we agree that we need to have council answer that question for us. That's probably one of many that we're going to ask council to interpret for us. Don, I had asked you if you would to give us the date so that we could have that information on when this commission needs to make a decision for the April ballot, when this commission would need to make a decision for the August ballot. I think those are the two that I asked.
Your deadline to certify for the April ballot would be January the 24th, and your deadline for the August would be May 29th. Both those dates are at 5 o'clock. If I may, I would like to speak about this issue.
Go right ahead.
I've not kept a secret from the library board, so they're all aware of my position. And that is, I interpret it that eventually it has to go to the ballot. My issue is that I, as a county elected official representing all of the citizens of Taney County, would like to see this go on an August ballot. One, because the cost to the citizens of Taney County would be an additional $20,000 to put it on in April. Two, the voter turnout in August is much higher than it is in April. And any time I would be involved in asking anyone to pay a tax, I would certainly want to see the majority, or at least a larger percentage of turnout, vote either for or against the issue. I'm not endorsing or going against the issue at all. That is not my position. I am just here to express my concern that I think a larger number of people should be asked to vote for this. And again, that's $20,000. That's a cost of one employee. When many of our departments have been asked to cut 5%, and last year I took a 40% cut in my office, I need additional help for the 2012 election cycle, which I probably won't get, or I'll get cut, as well as many other departments. $20,000 is one employee. I'd like to see us have another employee for many of the offices here. If we put it on in August, we don't have to pay that extra $20,000 because we're already required by statute to pay for the August election. Any questions, gentlemen? Thank you for listening.
Thank you. But what, yeah, I do have a question, Donna.
Breaks.
If the deadlines are January 24th and August 29th.
May 29th.
May 29th, I'm sorry.
And that, either way, whether it's on in April or in August, their levy can still hit for 2012. So they won't collect a dime any sooner by putting it on in April than they would in August.
Right. My question is, how far in advance of those deadlines will the county commission need to go through the motions of hearing, voting, or are we allowed to cast the vote right up till that date and then give you the notification? And I don't know the answer to that. That's why I'm asking the question.
You can certify the election to me on January 24th at 5 p.m.
With the ballot language.
You're going to have your ballot language. I would certainly think that you would want to run that by your attorney to make sure you have your structure right.
Okay.
And then, of course, you'll have to have the amount of your levy. Generally, the commission in the past has already has had a budget in front of them to help them determine what that levy would be. Does that help?
Thank you. Oh, sorry. Does anyone else have any comments that's here for the meeting today regarding this issue, one way or the other? Yes, ma'am.
Not really. I've got a little one here. It just is brainchild right here. I would really like to have the library system in the county, personally.
That's the best testimony we've had all day. Sarah?
Well, and I think the issue, and I respect the commissioner's interpretation of the statute that says that this does go to the ballot, that's not the issue. The issue is the when. And I'd like to share with you, because we certainly have considered that, if we wait until August, we are already almost a year and a fourth into our five-year timeline. So time just keeps moving along. We decided that the April election was the best election time for us. It is also the time of municipal elections, the time of school board elections, and all of our counsel and advice has advised us that it is the April election where people are most likely to vote for a library tax. It's important that we do that simply because there is a real sense of urgency about the existence of these private libraries. And the sooner that we can begin supporting them with real money, the more significant that happens is. And the fact that we have some real synergy, people are enthusiastic, and we want to capitalize on that. So those are fundamentally the reasons that that we are wanting the April election.
Well, my comments are we need to, or at least my feelings are, we need to speak with counsel about mm-hmm. this with all three questions that we have. We are a half hour late to begin our budgetary process where, unfortunately, we're going to be looking for $1.7 million more this afternoon to take out of the budget. And that's not talking about putting any back into it. So with that in mind, we'll bear that in mind today and as we speak with counsel before moving forward, if that's fair. If you all have another comment or either of you?
Well, the date that is set for the election is, and that's the reason I asked for this statute. In the event the district is so established, the county commission shall propose an annual rate of taxation. I would assume that it would be that we would follow a recommendation from the library board, but that's not what it says within the statute. The way, and that's the reason we need to get some legal advice as far as the dollar amount, and that's the reason I would like to have the support documentation on the amount of money needed per year and the plan that would be proposed.
Just for my edification, the library board's primary goal is to have the county commission place the issue on the ballot, and your primary selection or your number one selection as a date for election is April. Are you specifically opposed to any other date?
No.
But the request is April.
No, we want to give the citizens a chance to have their voice.
My question is, we don't want to narrow our decision-making process to one date, and hopefully if there are two, that I understand what your preference is.
I would like to not do it in November because I think the presidential race and other issues that are coming from the state, probably the library tax issue would get lost in that election. No, I don't think we are adamantly opposed to the August date.
I think the fair tax issue is going to be an issue wherein no other tax should be on the ballot except discussions and education of what that tax is. Mm-hmm. Personally, but folks, thank you very much for your attendance and your comments today. Did you have something else, Sarah?
Yes. The next meeting of the library board is the 27th, 2 days after Christmas, at 3:00 in this room. So at that point, Commissioner Strahan will be addressing the question again of the details of the plan. You're wanting an operating budget.
I would like to see a plan that would because as I read the statute, I need to see a plan before I make a vote of one statement from me is Merry Christmas to all of you, and may it be a Happy New Year for you.
Again, did you have something else?
Well, I'd just like to thank you all for listening to our presentation today and to tell you that we support you whatever you decide, and that's the American way.
Again, thank you all for your attendance and your comments today. We appreciate them. Thank you. The County Commission will be moving up to the conference room for budgetary discussions for the balance of the day. However, what time do you want to start?
1:00? It's 5 for 6. See, I don't know how you can avoid that section.
Because that section is not what they reformed it. They reformed it at 02.
But this only says it doesn't apply only in 03.